Just go solo.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Solo travel has been evolving quickly in the last few years, even though your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has been going solo for some time now. As more and more people are becoming aware of all the possibilities that await the solo traveler, some of that attention can make it appear that solo travel is merely having a moment, making it a fad instead of a true shift in how we experience the world. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. On this 100th episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to show how solo travel is where it's at, coming into its own.
Catherine, before we get started into the topic of the show, I must say I really can't believe we have taped 100 episodes. I mean, it is a milestone. And when we started, I must admit, I didn't really get the value of podcasts. I know when I first talked to you, I said, well, we'll try it. We'll see how it goes. But the more we got into it, the more my audience has grown and the popularity just of podcasting. I do understand it. I do understand the value of it. And I think it's a great forum to share all of my solo travel knowledge, tips, information, etc.
Well, I love it because you not only do you have the stories, but you have the experience. And I think people are really, I love hearing from the listeners. That's been the most gratifying part, is hearing from listeners who are like, you've inspired me, or, you know, this is what I'm liking. It's been really, really fun.
Well, I mean, I've been doing solo travel for over 40-something years, so I have a lot of stories.
Yeah, you do. Well, we'll get into some of those. I'm sure they will make their presence known here on this show today. Well, you know, I wanted to sort of open up our topic today by saying, you have a bit of a theory of the evolution of solo travel and how solo travel has come to this time and where it's at in our culture. So I was hoping you could kick us off by explaining how you think solo travel has progressed.
Okay. Well, you know, as all new social trends, solo travel has evolved because social patterns have changed. More and more people value being independent, having their personal freedom, whether they're single or they have a significant other or they're married and have a family. So, you know, we are seeing the breakdown of the traditional family. And that is underneath some of what's going on and some of the reasons why you see more people traveling solo. Now, also, you know, more people are choosing to remain single, or they find themselves single several times during their life, whether it's through divorce or widowhood or something, or they just choose not to get married as early as they used to. And also with that is the financial independence that more and more people have attained, and especially women. I mean, they have the disposable income now to have the freedom to make a lot of the choices in their life that really weren't there, say, 20 years prior. Also, people's values are changing, I think, in relation to material things. You know, more people, or you hear more and more people and you read stories about, you know, people are valuing experiences instead of material things, you know, or just having a large savings account. YOLO, I love that. You only live once philosophy, you know, is believed and valued by more and more people all over the world. You know, and denying yourself a pleasurable experience just to achieve, say, some goal, you know, like I said, a large bank account or whatever, is less and less valued versus the experience or the learning of something new, and especially by the young. They really get it. You know, the older population is getting there, but the young, they really feel this way. Then we also have the effects of globalization, and it's really played into the solo travel phenomenon. People want to understand other cultures. They want to interact with different types of people all around the world. And really, I find it's now seen as part of a person's education. whether it's in their personal development or in their business life. So, you know, this globalization, understanding other cultures, interacting with other people from different countries, et cetera, is not only interesting, but it's a necessity. So to be able to do it effectively, you have to, you know, go and immerse yourself in it. And that is playing into this solo travel phenomenon. Next is technology, which is really the big one or the big driver underneath the trend, I think. Because, first of all, social media. I mean, anybody who's on social media, you see so many people who are, you know, showing their travels. And you are seeing more and more of them going solo. And so, you know, when you are exposed to this on social media, you begin to think, especially if you haven't done that, well, maybe I would like to do that one day. So that is having an effect. As well as, you know, I mean, you can get any kind of information off the internet. So the wealth of information now that is readily available to people who want to travel solo, I mean, it's easy. I mean, you have really everything you need off the internet. So, and that wasn't the case, you know, 20 years ago for sure. And now, especially, most everyone has a smartphone. So people, you know, they feel more safe because they're more connected wherever they are, anywhere in the world. Another technology feature are the apps, and more people are really using apps, understanding the utility and how valuable they can be, and you'll see more are dedicated to travel, and now specifically solo travel, which helps so much with reducing the stress and just making a trip more fun in real time. So tech really has had a tremendous influence on the solo travel phenomena. And personally, when I first started traveling solo in the late 1960s, there were very few solo travelers. I mean, the only ones were the college gap year, the summer trek through Europe students, which I was one in the late 1960s. But it's really mostly adults were traveling with a companion or a group. And if you saw somebody that was a solo besides the students, it was a businessman, period. That was it. Then it started to kind of really change about 20 years ago. And I started noticing more and more people, especially women, going through the airports alone. And there were more people who were dining alone solo in the airport. So that's kind of when I really started to notice it. But most of them were traveling for business, for the most part. Then, you know, with all of that, you had the development of the VIP business lounges in the airport. And you really got to see there a lot of kind of well-heeled solos hanging out, mostly men that were business people, but then also women that were traveling alone, and they liked that you know, VIP kind of a place where they could stay before they caught their flight. But now I see a large part of the traveling public solo and being comfortably solo. I mean, you know, everybody's seen that photo of a woman walking through the airport or walking somewhere with a suitcase. And you see it. I mean, it's there. I would say when I go to an airport, probably more than a third, maybe approaching a half of the people, to me, look like they're solo. So the solo traveler is not viewed as the odd duck who has no one to travel with anymore. So social mores have really definitely changed, and that it all plays into this. And there are other factors that have strengthened the solo travel phenomenon. But really, I think it's underneath the social more. People are more independent. Women are more confident, they're more financially secure, and people are choosing to stay single or to do their own thing more because they want to and they can.
You mentioned women a couple of times in your description there. Can you tell us a little bit more, maybe go a little bit more in depth about some of the ways that women have shaped this field?
Okay, now women are by far the largest population of solo travelers. And, you know, I thought about that when I've read that over and over. But I know myself, I love to explore. And men, when they travel, typically they want to travel with, you know, a significant other, or they're with their family, or they have business. They are not as geared to really just going out and doing their own thing solo. And maybe it's something about the way men are created, but women by far are the largest population. I'd like to read you a quote someone wrote describing the growth of this phenomenon, female solo traveler, that I think begins to share light on it. It says, solo women travel isn't just a fad of the moment. It's an outgrowth of a larger cultural awareness that women can succeed on their own. And along with this train of thought, there's another quote, and it goes, today women are making independent life choices about careers, whether to have a family, travel, and have the income to travel solo. So that's just kind of at the bottom of why there is this phenomenon. Now, I'm going to give you some statistics to kind of enlighten you, because I know there's some people who have never traveled solo who might be listening to our program, or who have done it once or done it a lot of times. But I'd like to share the reality of the explosion of solo travel, and really the recent explosion of it. I'd say the recent explosion has been within the last 5 years. Yeah. But, okay, so some of the statistics go, solo female searches on the internet were up 52% between 2016 and 2017. And between 2017 and 2018, up 143%. Holy. I mean, that's almost a triple increase. Wow. That's amazing. And here again, this male-female statistic, 25% male solo travelers and 75% are women solo travelers. Hmm. So that shows you right there in the statistics. Hotel.com said their bookings for 2017 were up 170% for solo women bookings. Oh. Then I know this is really strong.
I mean, I knew it was happening, but
these
numbers are bigger than I was expecting.
Solo women travelers prefer international travel by 53% versus domestic travel. So that's telling you the women want to see the world.
Yeah.
They want to interact with different cultures. They want to meet new people. They want to learn, and they want to be enriched. Mm. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show. Then there's a wonderful newsletter called Solo Traveler Newsletter, and it's strictly focused for women solo travelers. But its subscribers, it started out in 2018, had 35,000, and it's up to 46,000 subscribers at this time, which was from the beginning of 2017, it's been up 25,500 subscribers to this newsletter. So that's an 80% rise in subscriptions in 2 years. Now that is phenomenal. Okay, 85% of the solo female travelers have college degrees or post-college degrees. So most of the solo travelers that are women are highly educated, okay? Now, 54% of the women solo travelers like to do some type of group tours. Maybe not all the time, but they like it. And this is up 34% since 2017. But 45% of the women solo travelers like their total freedom. They want to be out there and do their own thing and not really be a part of the group. Solo women travelers are also more frequent travelers. They like to take 3 or more trips per year. Versus couples and families, they typically take 2 trips a year. And that so it's probably more in the economics of that and the ability to get everybody away. But that's what the statistics show. And then also, a 2018 survey said 1 in 4 people who travel say now they are going to take a trip, a solo trip. So, you know, and I think it was in 2018. That's what the survey said. 1 in 4 people who travel say they will travel solo in 2018. That really shows you that people, they're thinking about going solo. They're not going to wait for other people to go with them or whatever. They're going to figure out how to do it. So what all this shows is more and more female travelers want to travel solo and choose to travel solo because they want to, and this is the big phrase, they want to do what they want, when they want, and they want to get some me time. They really do. And that's really, I think, at the bottom line of the people who go totally solo. Man, they just want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and they want to be me time. They don't want to be bothered, and they need it, and they want it. A little bit more about the statistical data. It shows that women solo travelers, they're looking for fun and interesting activities. I mean, they don't want to just sightsee. They want to get down into the cultures. They love the food and drink. You know, they experiment with restaurants and all kinds of, you know, food venues. They take cooking courses. They like food and wine tours. So the food and drink scene incorporating solo women travelers to experience that is growing. And that's one of the reasons why I've done the Dining Solo podcast and other podcasts dealing with food and wine and tours and that kind of thing, and how you can go solo and then tag up with some of these things and still be solo, you know, after you've done the course or whatever. Women love to go to exotic places. They're the ones that want to go, whoa, you know, to some of the real exotic places and kind of off the beaten path, which that shocked me a little bit. I thought the men would be more like that. No, women, that's not a deterrent, or that's what the statistics show. And they like being near beaches. Women tend to like beach holidays or beach getaways. They like adventure activities, you know, hiking, biking, and even sports-oriented activities, snorkeling, sailing, that kind of thing. Of course, you know, I'm a shopaholic, so I can understand this, but variety.
Well documented.
Yes, self-confessed. They like a variety of shopping experiences. They like the flea markets. They like going to ethnic boutiques. They into crafts. And, of course, the high end, et cetera. Or just, you know, things that you can buy that are made by a different culture. So the shopping experience is important. Spa services and rejuvenation activities. Oh yes, health, wellness, and beauty—that is really growing in the travel field. And the women are the biggest ones to go to these places and do these types of things. Like I said before, they're interested in meeting new people and interacting with the locals in different cultures. You know, I thought that maybe men would be more like that because, you know, they're always trying to maybe meet women or whatever. But it's like the women, they're the ones or they are naturally wanting to meet different types of people all over the world and become friends. You know, they don't have to have anything more than that. But they really are so comfortable or becoming more and more comfortable doing that. And they're seeking to do that. Also, they are seeking to understand the authenticity of the places that they're traveling to. They want to immerse themselves in the cultures. They don't want to just go and eat, etc. They really, you know, I remember when I was in a temple in Bangkok, and this temple was so unbelievably beautiful in the inside. And one of the things that struck me is this gorgeous, it looked like wallpaper, but it wasn't. It was hand-painted on, it had kind of a black background. It looked kind of Chinese, but it was very colorful scenes of people and things and objects and different things that they value in the Thai culture. But it was so beautiful. So I was asking the guide who was taking us through this temple, you know, what does all this mean? What does this beautiful wall mean? And so he began to go into it, etc. But, you know, women are like that. They want to know. They don't want to just go in and say, oh, okay, I've seen it, been there, done that. Men, that's usually them. They'll go and they'll look, unless they're into the aesthetics. But women seem to want to understand. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. So you see, so female solo travelers' travel goals and desires, I think, are really pushing hard on the travel industry to change. You're seeing that dreaded single supplement being reduced or eliminated now with certain group tours and cruises. There are even group tours and cruises now that are totally geared to solo travelers. Mm. Now, that wasn't happening very often 5 years ago. Then there are more groups that are welcoming solos. You know, it might not be a total solo traveler group, but, you know, you can be a part of another group, but they, you know, you're allowed to do it. And you're not penalized a cost, or the cost will be reduced, or in some kind of way they'll work it in. I remember when I took a river cruise down the Nile, I was the only solo on the cruise. There really weren't that many couples on the cruise, because at that time, Egypt, more people were very concerned about safety, and the time of year I went, it wasn't a heavy travel season, so... But, oh, my gosh, that Uniworld treated me like, oh, I mean, I probably got treated better than if I would have had my husband with me. You know, and so what I'm trying to say, the travel industry is being very sensitive now to the solo traveler needs, much more so than before. Also, in some of the cruise ships, now you have specific cabins that are reserved for solo travelers and geared to solo travelers. Hotels, some of them have floors that are only for female guests. Oh. And some of the rooms, actually, in certain hotels, are the interiors are furnished with, you know, very interesting magazines and lots of little extras that females like.
Feminine touches kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So bottom line is really the female solo travel phenomena is changing the travel industry. And it's indicating that solo travel is, to me, not a fad, but is considered fab or fabulous.
Yeah. Can we talk a moment about one of the things you did a good job of setting up, that there's some technological changes that are influencing solo travel, and this sort of personal enrichment drive that people seem to have. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about that. What is happening with people and our culture that they are wanting more of that personal enrichment?
Okay, well, I'm going to go into the technology first, because a lot of that is just kind of self-explanatory, but it is really the biggest driver underneath the explosion of solo travel.
Do you think most people think of that, or do they just sort of take it for granted that the technology has just, you know, that has changed so much?
I think they take it for granted. They don't realize what kind of influence it has on just opening everything up, yeah. You know, just everything up. Single-handedly, this is the biggest propellant of the trend that's making solo travel possible for people, that they really decide, I can take the plunge. You know, because before, they wouldn't have been exposed to all the photographs and the videos and the information that's readily there. They couldn't book the hotels as easy. They couldn't do their own flights. They couldn't do their own searches, their own, you know, build their own itineraries, all that kind of stuff. And when you can do that, and you think about it, and you visualize it, you are over the hump of being, I need to go with somebody else. You begin to think, okay, I can do this. You know, it's just like going to the store. I mean, after you've done it once, you know how to get there and do it the second time. It's just second nature to you. But, you know, the first part of social media I touched on, it's, you know, definitely technology is definitely the social media. I mean, you see all these people with their travel stories and, you know, their ideas and what's trending now in travel. Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, huge influence. Mm. And there's a lot of solo travelers now that really are promoting, if they have a website or a blog or whatever, they're using social media to get out their experiences and their tips, etc. So that's a really big deal because it's inspiring other people to think, I can do this. Like I said, I can go solo. And of course, all the selfies around the world. I mean, I had to say that because the selfie phenomenon maybe that isn't quite as strong as it was when Ellen DeGeneres had that big selfie with all her crew or friends, and everybody started doing selfies. But, you know, when people see that, they really do think, well, if she can do it, I can do it. Also, the beautiful photos of so many places around the world. I mean, I've been looking at a lot of the photos on the Northern Lights. Mm. And I keep thinking, it's something I've never seen. Oh, I've got to do this before I leave this world. It's just so, it's so ethereal looking. It's so, it's a different feel in everything of Earth. So photos really have, you know, National Geographic kind of started it all with their philosophy and their magazines and their focus on different cultures and the beauty of the world and valuing the environment and experiencing all of that. But now, I mean, it's ready, available on your phone, you know, your computer, your iPad. So it is changing people's ideas about travel, and specifically solo travel. Okay, like I said, wealth of information on the internet. You have so many more now blogs and websites, videos and podcasts focusing on solo travel. I mean, you know, you got all kinds of people talking about their tips, their ideas, and even solo travel services. And I have to mention two websites that I think are very good. One is solotravelworld.com. I forgot the lady's name who started it, but it's been around a while. And she does publish that wonderful newsletter I shared earlier in the show. But she's great for a lot of ideas. And then I have to plug my own website, Astrid, Solo Travel Advisor, which is astridtravel.com. My site is geared to affordable luxury ideas, products, and services for the solo traveler. So there are more and more websites, blogs, etc., that are strictly focused on solo travel. Next aspect of technology. It's really real time now assistance that you have. Everybody basically has a smartphone. So now you can store all your travel information in there, whether it's your travel documents, your emergency contacts. You can stay connected with family and friends. So, you know, you have a real time assistant. You don't need anybody to help you. If you get organized and know how to use everything, I mean, you're connected anywhere in the world. And that has really changed people in terms of feeling they can do it, they'd be safe, and you know, if they needed something, they could figure it out, okay? Then the apps. Oh, my gosh. There are so many apps now, and it's growing all the time. Whether it's Google Maps, your weather apps, TripAdvisor, Expedia, National Geographic, I mean, City Guides. You can get into all kinds of things, and if you don't know something or you're trying to figure out something when you're somewhere already, the information is right there to you in one of these apps. There's lots of apps. Then there's also the Step app, which is an app that is, I have to always plug.
Our unofficial sponsor, yeah. Yeah.
But the U.S. State Department for American Citizens has this wonderful service, and they have this app, and it gives you a wealth of information about countries and do's and don'ts and everything, as well as whenever you go out of the country, you can enroll in with the State Department, your itinerary, where you'll be staying, your contact information, everything they need to know to help you if there is social unrest or possibly terrorism or maybe natural disaster, or even if you are involved in an accident or a victim of a crime. You can get in touch with them, and they will help you. And like if there's some kind of social unrest or terrorist issue, they contact you and tell you to avoid these areas, and if you need to evacuate, how you should do it, if there are any services the U.S. government is providing, how you can tag up with that, all kinds of things. You know, and I promote this all the time because it is fabulous. I mean, you know, if you need anything, they can help find what you need. So, and mostly it's distress situations, but it's comforting. If you want to go to some real exotic places, you definitely need to do this. Then there's safety apps and language translation apps. They didn't have that, you know, 5 years ago. Now all you have to do is talk into your phone and it talks back in the other language. It answers so many questions. The phone basically, you know, is your translator, which I think that is just,
it's amazing.
So because of tech now, you know, you can plan your trip and you can execute your trip with just a computer and the iPhone. You don't need printed travel guides, maps, travel agents. You know, I mean, travel agents can help you, but if you want to put in the work, you can do it all yourself. It's all there. And really soon we won't need cash at all. And or credit cards. You'll just use your phone, you'll put it up to everything and the barcode or whatever, you know, it'll take whatever it needs out of your account. And then of course there's Wi-Fi more all over the world, which that keeps you connected real time. And before, and I would say even 5 years ago, I know when I went to China, it was spotty and they block you and that kind of thing. And so in Russia the first time was a little bit more difficult. But it's pretty much prevalent now everywhere in the world. And it's getting stronger and stronger. So, you know, that has a lot to do with this whole solo travel phenomenon. Then you've got your tech gadgets, your safety gadgets, and, you know, your alarms and whether they're on your body or on your hotel room door. I have a really goofy little 10-second video on my YouTube that shows this little hanging, it's very small, hanging gadget that you put on the doorknob of your hotel room. And I bought it for when I went to China, because I went to China solo for 5 weeks. And I really didn't know what to expect. Even though I was staying in 5-star hotels, I mean, I didn't know, you know, and when you don't know, you try to think of everything that will make your trip less stressful or keep you out of harm's way, et cetera. So I bought this little gadget that you hang on your door, on your hotel door, and it has this little wire and these two little pins that you stick in between the door jamb. So if somebody wants to open your door, this thing goes so loud. I mean, it's so loud, it wakes up the whole hall. So, you know, that's technology. We didn't have those things before we had those rubber door stoppers. And they still work. Don't think they don't work. But now you have sound, you know, and you yourself are more likely to be awoken with that kind of thing. So the tech gadgets, they're coming more and more. And last, you know, now you can actually work remotely, you know, because of technology, which allows you to both travel and work. So, you know, technology's just changing all of our lives so fast, and that's to include travel and solo travel.
I have to say, listening to you, I do think that there's a teeny tiny bit of a blessing and a curse with the spread of technology, that now when you travel, you can get your email, you can get your workload, you can do all those things. So there is like a little bit of an edge to that as well.
Right. Well, basically, you know, I mean, you're going to have to control your time and when you want to talk or when you don't want to. And there's also... I have to put in a plug for this little company. It's called Silent Pocket. We interviewed them on one of our podcasts. But they have products that keep you or take you off the grid, which means you can put your phone in this little sleeve and they can't track you. Also, there are a couple of things with the computers. You can put your computer in these computer sleeves that they have. They have all these things that you can put a dot over your camera and your computer, all kinds of little gadgets, even a backpack that's not only waterproof and non-traceable, you know, the same kind of thing they have, of course, RFV thing, but it's even bulletproof.
Yeah,
I mean, this backpack has got it going on. So if you don't want to be disturbed, you just buy one of these backpacks or one of these little sleeves, and it will block it. So, you know, that's all part of this new world.
And then what are your thoughts about the sort of the personal enrichment side?
Okay, well, that's a big driver too. That really is, because, you know, people are searching for happiness and just feeling that they've done things to fulfill themselves, etc. So, you know, people are searching because they hear so much negative in the media, or they're feeling like, you know, what's going on with the world? So they're trying to figure out where they are and what is right and what makes them happy and what makes sense. So this enrichment leads to you kind of finding yourself. And I'll talk about that in the end of this question. But solo travelers really, they're seeking first and foremost, they want adventure. They want to do new things. They want to learn new things. Like I said, they want to experience and understand many cultures around the world. You know, they want to challenge their cultural biases. You know, they want to see what don't I understand about, say, Hinduism? You know, if you grow up in the United States and you're a Catholic or you're Methodist or Christian philosophy, you know, more and more people are saying, well, you know, I want to understand that. I want to know how it's different from ours and why this whole population is has this belief and how that affects their culture and how they live, et cetera. And how can I accept our differences and learn from them and learn from how they think differently and what we think is right. So that's, you know, that's that you see more and more people doing that. And then, of course, people like to eat and drink ethnic foods and experience, you know, different food cultures. And they also, this enrichment goes into, like I said, they want to have time alone to think about what really matters to them. You know, they want me time. They need to recharge, rethink, rejuvenate, you know, and they might even want to go off in a completely different direction with their life. And it's very funny how, you know, if you got certain things that just keep coming up in your life and you can't quite figure them out, et cetera, you go on a solo trek for, you know, more than 3 days, maybe even 3 days, it'll hit you. But just the fact you're not in your home environment, and I even say longitude, latitude, in the motion of travel, you go somewhere different, just the whole essence of a place. Your brain and your emotions and everything start flooding up, and you begin to think about things you either haven't thought about, you won't let yourself think about, or you just can't figure out. It's amazing. Sometimes you just have that aha moment on the other side of the world. But it happens a lot. And people are experiencing that because they are traveling more and traveling solo all over the world. And they're coming back and talking about these experiences. And then, of course, you know, people have their bucket list and their passions, what they want to do. So, you know, that all plays into the enrichment factor. People are very interesting, again, meeting so many people all over the world. They are just plain curious about people. You know, whether, I mean, I know I am really curious. And I mean, I'm like so curious, I'm surprised I haven't got myself in trouble. Because I will ask them questions when I feel like the time is right and it's not rude. But I want to know, you know, I want to know about why, say, Indian women, and I've never asked this question, but tell me about the sari, and why you dress this way, and, you know, your jewelry, and what does this mean to you, and in your traditions, and why, you know, just tell me about it. You know, I love to hear all that because it makes me really appreciate that difference so much more. And I love that. It's a very empowering kind of wonderful feeling. When you don't know something or understand something, or you have some kind of underlying prejudice that you don't really know you have, but it really hits you in the face when you work through that. Oh gosh, it is. I mean, you can have a lot more fun. I mean, your life just becomes a whole lot more full. It really does. Okay. And of course, people who go solo, they want to break out of their daily routine. That daily routine for a lot of people is very difficult to sustain. And everybody knows when they travel, very few people say, even if they've had a bad trip, I still got to get out of town. And it's rejuvenating just leaving, just getting out of that routine. So that is part of the underlying reasons why people, you know, are saying, I'm just going to go by myself. Plus, growing importance, or really the phenomenon of feminism, women feminism, because women now, they really want to actualize their full potential. And like I've been, you know, kind of moving this conversation towards, solo travel does enrich the female solo traveler, which in turn leads to more empowerment of the individual. And another thing, I always try very hard, and this is something my husband taught me, oh, probably 35 years ago. He said, you worry too much about what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. You need to learn how to live in the moment. You need to learn how to do the best you can in the moment. And, you know, let nature kind of propel you this way. I mean, you might have to, you know, deal with problems you think are going going to come down the line or whatever. But the bottom line is, if you have this philosophy in your daily life, like make every day your last, then I can tell you, when you start doing that around the world and you kind of get fully engaged in a place, I mean, this results in a lot of self-enrichment and empowerment. It really, really does. I mean, you come back home and you think, God, I'm a changed person. Well, I can't say you're a changed person, but you're an evolved person. And that really is underneath, because people are experiencing that and they're loving it. So technology and enrichment, basically two key reasons behind this big solo travel phenomenon. You can do it and it's worth it.
Anything that gains in popularity faces additional scrutiny and sometimes even a backlash, and solo travel seems to be getting some of this treatment. What do you say to comments that solo travel is just another fad?
Well, in keeping with the holiday spirit, since this podcast will be first aired in December, I say bah humbug to the critics and the doubters. And really, when I first started the podcast and my website, I got some comments like that. And, you know, my reaction always is, you know, solo travel isn't for everyone, but it is a growing trend that more and more people are choosing. This is how I respond to it. And then I begin to encourage the doubters, you know, just read a little bit about solo travel or look at some of the people who are posting photos to learn more about why people do it. Don't just, you know, I mean, you can watch me and listen to me, but see what why other people are doing it, you know, and if you find yourself starting to dream about going somewhere completely solo, then kind of allow yourself to begin to bridge that gap and to think differently on how and why you would want to experience from your travel adventure. So what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of people go, God, I'd never do that. Or Astrid, how do you sit there and go to eat by yourself? That sounds so depressing and all this kind of stuff. And so I try to ease them in, like, you know, it's not for everybody. But if you start learning about it and seeing how people are enjoying it and how things are changing now, and it's not, you're not so lonely anymore, disconnected, or it's not as unsafe as it was before. And then you're thinking about, well, you know, I'd like to do that. And then you kind of think, you know, I kind of would love to do that by myself, because if I take my husband, he will not want to do the things I want to do. So as you start thinking like that, try to bridge the gap. Try to get yourself to start, you know, thinking, well, maybe I can do this. And maybe one day I will do it. You know, that's kind of a little bit how it starts. But right now, solo travel, I mean, it is hip to travel solo. Like that song, Hip to Be Square. Because that, you know, that independent, confident, modern woman who travels the world is seen now as powerful and not as someone who no one wants to be with. So here again, you've also got this shift that people are admiring people that are doing it. And I must say, I do get those comments to me all the time. They go, oh, God, I would love to be you, or something like that. And they go on and on. And I mean, you know, it's been an evolution for me. I just didn't start out doing that way. Now, I must say my personality, I love adventure. And I'm really, I'm never scared anywhere, which is, it really amazes me. Now, there are certain things that make me uncomfortable, but I don't care how exotic a place is. I never go, oh God, this place creeps me out, or I can always relax and just kind of get into the flow. But there are a lot of reasons why I think I can do that, besides some of my personality. I do a lot of research into the culture, what to expect before I go, so it's not like some kind of big shock when I get there. But you know, back to our topic, women empowerment is really not a fad. I mean, it's here to stay. And women are becoming more and more powerful, confident, independent, financially secure. So that's not a fad. And maybe, you know, society will tire of all the social media and all the posts by solo travelers, and the trend might kind of slow down. You know, they get sick of seeing all these people on there. Or I was thinking, you know, maybe the virtual reality might take the place of real-time solo travel. And that'll be the next travel trend. And there'll be no need to get on a plane because you could just immerse yourself in holograms or put on one of those helmets. And I know I'm getting kind of weird heady now, but I mean, you don't really know. Or maybe travel will become too expensive because it's getting more expensive in certain ways for the solo traveler. And thus, it will justify the need to travel with others to share expenses. But really, my opinion is more and more women are single for longer periods of time, whether they choose to or not in their lives. Because of this, I think the solo travel trend will continue to increase because women don't want to stop traveling just because they're single. And now they know that they can do it because they've seen a lot of this transition, either on social media or whatever. So the more single women they are at different points in their life, or the more independent they are, like me, who's been married for 40-something years, and my husband doesn't like to travel anymore, and I intend to see as much as I can see of this world before I leave, so I have to do it solo. but I love to travel. And because you're single, that doesn't mean that you can't travel. Okay. Also, you see very substantially the growing numbers of travel companies that are providing services that are geared to solo travelers' needs and desires. And these companies know that the growing number of tech-savvy young and older people now will desire to travel solo because they want to maintain their autonomy, and they can with technology. So even the travel companies that used to like to have the couples and, you know, base everything on doubles and families and even groups, they know now that more and more people, they're choosing a different type of travel. And Booking.com shares, solo travel is not a trend, but a new normal. Female travel is here to stay. That's from Booking.com. So, and I believe from my own personal experience, these are my thoughts. The more you travel solo, the more you gain confidence to take future trips till you become hopelessly hooked. But it's true. The more you do it, just like anything, learning to walk, ride a bike, etc. So once you master the ability to be what I call happy alone, which I think is greatly enhanced by the solo travel experience, the more you challenge yourself and have the ability to solve problems alone, and the more confident you'll become. To me, solo travel has helped me learn how to cope with being alone, to resist the temptation to allow myself self-pity and depression to come in. It really has helped me with that. It's helped me, you know, kind of ease through those lower times and just say, you're wonderful, Astrid. You got it going on, you know, and those kinds of things. And, you know, everybody has a lot of problems in their life. I realize that no matter how wonderful your life looks, there are problems. But you have to learn how to deal with those things that can just really sink your ship. And in travel, solo travel is a very good way to begin to acquire that real ability to be happy alone, no matter what. And I tell you, it's one of my things that I cherish. And then a little bit more on this thought, you know, the need for quiet time, for stillness, No distractions. Also is a growing trend for people in the fast-paced stress world. So, you know, and like I said, kind of on the same thought before in the show, the need to get away and think, to solve like a personal problem, or maybe you're thinking about going in a new direction, maybe even starting a whole new career, something just drastic. Solo travel is a good place or a good thing to do when you're in these transitional stages, because it frees you from your hometown, your home place, your home environment, and it just helps you expand, you know, what you really think and what you really feel. So traveling the world solo, to me, does help you find your true self. That's what I say, on a deeper level. And this fosters your ability to be happy alone, or at least fight self-pity. And, you know, lots of times we can be, that can creep in. If you don't watch out, it can creep in. And even with all this social media, you might think, oh God, look at their life. They've got it, you know, and I'll never, you know what I'm saying? Don't let yourself get in there. When the inner you can be okay, no matter the circumstance, you're on your way to having healthier relationships and a fuller life. And my belief is when you acquire the skill of being happy alone, more happiness will come your way. And that's true. Experience solo travel to help you gain this important life lesson. Okay. So I just kind of wrapped that, you know, whole thought up by saying, for all these reasons mentioned in solo travel, about solo travel, it's not a fad, but it is a natural progression of what social globalization and social change that's going on all around the world. And it's here to stay as a chosen travel experience.
Well, I say to all the people who are listening right now that we really do hope you choose to experience the solo travel. That's the whole purpose of the show. I know that Astrid has so much to offer people with her own experiences, and you really want to share that. I know that that's really been a part of the motivation for this whole show, and I just want to say to you, congratulations on this 100th episode.
Oh, well, you know, that I was going to end the show by thanking all the listeners for tuning in to Solo Travel Talk podcast milestone 100th broadcast. I mean, you know, we really are. Catherine and I, we've been doing this, and, you know, I didn't know what I was doing at the beginning. I still don't totally know what I'm doing, but I have such passion for this, and I love it. So, you know, if you've enjoyed the show, or if you've been inspired, or if you benefited just, you know, from this time together with us, give us a like, or share the broadcast. Also, you know, feel free to comment in the comment section below. We love to hear from our audience, because we get great ideas for future podcast topics from these comments, and we've done it a lot.
Yeah.
And last, and most importantly, is subscribe to Travel Talk, because when you subscribe, our podcasts are broadcast to more listeners around the world, so they can get all this, you know, interesting or motivating information. So thank you for listening, and happy holidays.
We do want to say a Merry Christmas to everyone who's listening, and thank you all for being so supportive of this show, Solo Travel Talk. But we know this very episode has inspired you're going to go out and do all your solo traveling. Well, guess what? Astrid has a section of her website, astridtravel.com, that is dedicated to resources that are going to help you do just that. All you have to do is go to astridtravel.com/resources. She's got her very cool budget tool. She's got her packing list. And I know that there's some exciting things coming up on that page.
Oh, yeah. 2019, I have so many things that I have planned. I'm going to start an Astrid Travel Club where you can join, and we'll be putting together very interesting theme-based trips for very small groups of solo travelers. We'll also be helping create trips for people who want to do bespoke travel or just pure solo travel. And we're going to do this resource page in full. We'll have things like infographics on tipping around the world and, you know, all the things that you need to do, all the steps, everything you need to check off your checklist to do a getaway, a two-week vacation, or some, you know, around-the-world trip. You know, from packing to budgeting to, you know, things you have to do before you leave home. All those kinds of things. Because even me, as a very experienced solo traveler, I can forget it. So we'll have a lot of resources on there that just will help you just, you know, make the trip happen, relieve stress or anything that would concern you that could go wrong and mess everything up.
No mess ups. Hey, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love Spotify. Any fine place that podcasts can be found. Again, congratulations, Astrid. Thank you, everybody, for listening and making this show what it is. We'll see you next time in the 101st episode of Solo Travel Talk. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com.